Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this morning. And we are happy to have you for the sermon titled In the Dark. Now, our scripture lesson today comes from somewhere it's very hard to find. Genesis chapter 1, the first three verses. That's in the front of the book in case you've forgotten. The trooper was walking up to the car, noticing the amount of occupants in it. And as he got there, the man driving looked at him out the window and said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" And so the trooper said, "Well, okay, come on out." And they went to the back of the car. And the man looked at the trooper and said, "Look, I know I was speeding. I know why you pulled me over. Can you just let me finish and then you can write me the ticket?" And the trooper was confused. He said, What's going on?" And the man pointed at the car and he said, "You see them three women in that car?" The trooper said, "Yeah." He goes, "That's my wife and her two sisters. And her two sisters have been staying with us now for 6 weeks. And last night, the three of them got into a horrendous argument. And they demanded they be taken home. And they're not speaking to each other. And I'm just trying to get them back home before they start again." The trooper gave him a police escort. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And there was light. May God add his blessings to this as we seek him in prayer. Father, open our hearts and our minds to the sermon that you have given, to the words that you have given. Let us understand why we are hearing them in this day, in this moment, in this time, right here, right now. You have laid this sermon out for us, and there is a reason. Let us hear it. Let it be what we use to guide us in the week to come, Father. Let us come to know your Son, Jesus, and what he does, did, and always will for us. In Jesus' name we give thanks. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. On him almighty vengeance fell, which would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus becomes our hiding place. H.A. Ironside, the great preacher, said in a book, Illustrations of Bible Truth, he tells this story from the Moody Press in 1945. He said when he was a young man trying to learn his way, when he was trying to understand the Gospels, he came across this story, and he writes, "One of the first gospel illustrations that ever made a real impression on my young heart was a simple story I heard a preacher tell when I was less than 9 years old." He said it was the pioneers who were making their way across one of the central states to a distant place that had been opened up for homesteading. They traveled in covered wagons drawn by oxen, and progress was necessarily slow. We've all seen it before. They were traveling at such a snail's pace. All of their worldly belongings, everything they had, creeping along at maybe a mile an hour. One day they were way out on their way when they looked out on the horizon. Now, I have been to Kansas multiple times. And if you haven't been to Kansas, let me explain Kansas in one word. Are you ready? Flat. Literally. The day I went to Kansas, or the day I was driving through Kansas, I saw a tree off in the distance. And after I had driven for 2 days, I still saw that tree off in the distance. And these pioneers looked, and off in the distance, they saw a dark line stretching for miles. And they realized the dark line was smoke coming up, that the grasses out there had caught fire, and there was no way to stop them. The grasses were burning east. For miles stretching across, it was soon evident that there was nowhere for them to go. They were going to be consumed by this fire. They had crossed a river a day before and knew that if they turned around now, they'd never make it back. Only one person seemed to have an understanding. One man called for a can of kerosene and a match and began to draw a line as fast as he could in the grass behind them and torched it. And as that grass behind them burnt toward the east, back toward the river, he ordered all the wagons swung around to chase after that fire. And they did. And soon they were in the area that the grass had burned away. They were in where it had burned. And horrified, they began to slow down as the fire caught up to them. And then suddenly, as it roared, as it flamed, as little girls huddled, as children pulled in, one cried out in terror, "We will all be burned up." But the man that had started it said, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where it has already burned." What a picture of the believer. What a picture of Christ. What a picture of what we have in Jesus Christ. On him, almighty vengeance fell, which would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race and thus becomes our hiding place. H.A. goes on to write, "The fires of God's judgment burn themselves out on him, on Jesus. And all who are in Christ are safe forever, for they are now standing where the fire has been." There is this thing about darkness. Almost everyone, no. Everyone has been, is now, or will be in darkness. Everyone. It cannot be escaped. Some people live with it so deeply and so horribly that they cannot see a way out of it. Doubt, worry, fear. The funny thing is that sometimes we'll look at other people and we'll go, "They don't seem to have a care in the world." You're sitting there right now thinking, "Uh-oh, he is talking to me," using those key words, doubt, worry, fear, anxiety, trial, tribulation, trouble, lost, hate, abandoned, out of courage. Do you want me to keep going? I really can't, because those are all the words I wrote down, and I'm not smart enough without my dictionary to keep going, but you get the picture. Everyone suffers. No matter how great they may seem, everyone does. During World War II, a military governor was having supper with the great General George Patton in Sicily. And he praised Patton for his courage and bravery. And the general replied to him, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am an utter craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in sight of battle my whole life that I wasn't so scared I had sweat on the palm of my hands." General Patton. Years later, when Patton's autobiography was published, it contained this significant statement by the general: "I learned very early in life never to lose my counsel in the face of fear." I know you guessed it by now. There's something pushing down on me, and there is. In the dark. In the dark. There is a world out there that is in the dark. I have only ever encountered really true, absolute, complete, utter darkness. And I mean darkness. I mean dark. In 1920, in the course of quarrying operations by a road construction crew looking to obtain gravel, a drill bit was going into the side of a rock face to place explosives when it suddenly disappeared into the hole out of the worker's hand. The crew realized they had found a cave. Blasting produced an entrance which is still used, and in 1922, they opened up this cave to the public. A mapping operation in 1968 revealed about a half a mile of passages, but only one third of that cave is seen during the tour. One third. And it takes about 30, 35 minutes. Passages not open to the public are similar to those described as you go through this long tour. But the commercial tour route covers approximately one third of the known cave there at Crystal Grottoes. We went to Crystal Grottoes once. When Wendy and I were first married, we was tending after her niece and nephew, and we decided we would take them to Crystal Grottoes because I hadn't been in there in, and I couldn't remember when the last time was. And if you ain't never taken the tour, I advise you to do it. Because they walk you in there and they show you things, and eventually they carry you down into that room that's underground, way under the entrance. And if you have the guide that we had, it's a lot of fun. And finally he'll get to that point where he goes, "Now we're going to experience darkness." And he turns that light off. And I'm telling you, you can't see it here. You cannot see it here. It is so dark. You cannot make out anything. That's total darkness. And for just a moment, you get a little bit lost because you have no nothing. You have zero. You are lost. You are in the dark. I would, however, advise you never take that trip with me. Because the minute them lights get off, I can't help myself. You have to ask Wendy about me going, "Don't touch me like that in the dark." But it's black. It's not just black. It is the absence of everything. It is in the dark. And the truth of this story is, when we get into that, we can be in a room with this much light and still not be able to see. And I got news for you. The person sitting right next to you may very well be in that kind of darkness and not talking about it or not sharing it or not saying something. But to make it real, all of us come into contact out there in the real world with those who are experiencing it, and we may not know it. I just want you to stop for a minute and try to imagine you have nothing. We see these pretty flowers, and I know they have names. Please don't ask me. But they're flowers, and they're pretty. And we see this pretty carpet here that, underneath the glass, and we see this cross. And yet, can you imagine what if you couldn't see that? And I'm not talking about being blind with your eyes shut. Imagine being so in the dark, so lost in everything that is pushing down on you, you can't appreciate that. It's real. It happens. It's there. It's there every single day. Can you imagine if you had no way to get away from it? And believe you me, there are people out there that live in that moment that they do not understand that there is a way away from it. What if it was you? I want you to contemplate that for a minute, and I want you to imagine what if. I want you to listen to these words. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, as he was tired from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is just quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that this is the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. What if? What if that never happened? What if, when she got there, he simply watched her draw up the water and walk away? What if on that day that it came to the end and you reached out, there was nothing there? You would be in the dark. This morning when we left the house, it was nasty and gray and foggy and misty. And we crossed over the mountain, and the sun was waiting for us on the other side. I have seen that phenomena more than once, many times, as a matter of fact. But this morning, it struck me hard. In the dark is where we were, and yet as we progressed forward, we went into the light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was with formless and empty. I'm going to change this up just a little bit, and I have permission. It's not permanent. I just want you to hear it from another angle. In the beginning, God created you. And you were formless and empty. And darkness was over your surface. And it was in you deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering right there above you. And when you called out to Christ, when you called out and said, I can't do this anymore, I need to be saved, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And every time we are in that darkness, every time we are Christians now, we are removed from nothing. We are here until we're not. And we are going to go through darkness We are human beings. We are not righteous. We have not been made whole. We cannot claim any of those victories. We struggle against cuts, abrasions, bruises, broken bones, lacerations, cancer, nervousness, anxiety, colds. I don't know. We go into the dark all the time. But because we know and love Jesus Christ, we have light there every time we turn. It never gets that dark. I mean it when I say look around this room. There are those here that are struggling. There are those here, not today, for whatever reason, that are struggling. And sometimes the flick of a light switch is when the phone rings and they hear somebody on the other end go, "Hey, I was thinking about you. How are you?" When they go to the mailbox and they open up the post, and inside of it is a card that just simply says, "Hey, miss you, thinking about you, love you." Or when you knock on the door. I've seen that look. It's a look of relief. It's a look of happiness. When we are lost in the dark, we get a phone call, card, a letter, and a knock from Jesus Christ reminding us, "I've got you." We sang that song this morning. "I will go, Lord, if you lead me." I know I'm messing the whole song up, but you get the idea. I'll go. Tell me where to go. I am here. Use me. Tell me where to go. Point me. Just please don't point me to Africa right now. Yes, Charles, I know you're watching. I will hold your people in my heart. Because out there somewhere, maybe just this far away, maybe that far away, someone is in the dark. F.B. Meyer said, "I believe this thing. When we see a brother or sister in sin in the dark, there are two things we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she has tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that is assailing them. We also do not know what we have done in those circumstances. But we ought to pray for them, reach out to them, and love them, and show them that while they may think they're in the dark, the world of light is always opened." We're going to be in the dark. We're going to be in the dark until we're not. One day we're going to be called home. We just sang that song. I mean, I stand in awe of you. And I do. So I know that sometimes it's hard to fathom, but sometimes I get lost in thinking about that day. That day when Paul Leatherman goes, "Whoop, I'm out." And I cross that gate and I see whoever's tending the gate that day go, "What's he doing here? He just walked in like he owns the place." And I'm in front of God. My favorite illustration in the entire world is that day I am kneeling before him and he opens up my file. And he reads and he reads. He reads, and they take a break for lunch and then come back and he keeps on reading. Finally, he says, "You're not coming in here." And Jesus says, "Dad, he gave his life to me." "Oh, yeah? Okay. Come on in, good and faithful servant. Live in the light now forevermore. No longer will you be in the dark." We have it, brothers and sisters. We don't have to live in the dark. We will be, but we will always have the light to take us out. That is my prayer for each and every one of you here today, that you know that you live with that knowledge, and that you show it to those around you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for teaching us Sometimes the lesson is hard. Sometimes the road is long. Sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes we cannot figure it out. More likely than not, it is not our job. Here we are, Lord. We are here. We have heard you calling in the night. We will go, Lord, if you lead us. We will keep your people in our heart. We will keep you in our heart, Jesus. We will remind ourselves that in our darkness, in our hard times, that it's only temporary. That regardless of what we cannot see, you're with us and will lead us out. Jesus, you were right there when she walked up to start drawing water. Thank you for that. You were there when your father said, "Let there be light." And you were there when we finally had had all we could take of our own darkness and said, "Help me." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the light in the dark. Amen. If you have that particular need today, the bench is open. You're on the other side of the camera and you don't know, hunt me down. May God bless each and every one of you.
Please stand.